Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we're diving into Garrett Wilson, wide receiver from Ohio State, one of two potential first-round wide receivers, likely first-round wide receivers, projected first-round wide receivers, I guess is the easiest way to say it at this point. 6 foot, 183, 4.38, 92nd percentile, 36-inch vert. That's just better than the median at 53rd percentile, 123 broad jump, 62nd percentile, 4.36 short shuttle, 19th percentile, BMI of 24.8. So a little on the light side there. Shows up in the height adjusted speed score. So again, this is something that is a little bit different for wide receivers. Wide receiver height matters. And so there's an adjustment done by someone at RotoViz around the time I was at RotoViz. I think it was Sean Siegel. It was brief. I was at RotoViz. It was Sean Siegel that may have done it. But anyways, it adjusts a little bit for height. So basically, if you're like 6'1 and a half as like the neutral, so anyone kind of above 6'1 and a half is getting a boost, and anyone below 6'1 and a half is getting a downgrade. That's basically, that's kind of how you can think about it. So again, it's just an adjustment. It's a normal speed score thing. About 100 is about right. So he's 53rd percentile at 96.4. So you sort of get the idea. 100 out of is like decent, and then you sort of get up in like the 110 is like your freak zone. Your 120 is like your mega freak zone. So 2.3 yards per team passing attempt. That's 80th percentile. Yeah, he's a 22-year-old junior. On his career, 2.73 yards per route run, 84th percentile, so pretty good there. Targets per route run, basically a quarter of his routes he's been targeted on, 24.9%. 64th percentile, so again, that's good. I think he can at times disappear. That showed up a little bit this year. We'll get into that in a minute. That would be something I have a little bit of pause on because I don't know. A lot of these guys, I do the superhero test. Like, what's your superhero skill? And with Wilson, I think it's a little bit more complicated than some of the other guys. So it'll be interesting to see how he's sort of thought about. 16.3% of his targets he was contested on. That's 63rd percentile. So again, I use that as kind of a proxy for some separation stuff, right? How are you getting open? Right. And so he isn't targeted a ton in contested situations. So that's a good sign. Receptions per broken tackle, 4.9. That is 77th percentile. His max yards per route run, 3.04, 77th percentile. His max targets per route run is 28.9, 67th percentile. So again, I don't see elite numbers. So I think that's worth noting. He's a 20-year-old breakout for both 20% and 30% thresholds. So he went 11% dominator rating at 19 years old. At 20, he went at 30.1. So just over that 30 threshold. So that's I would consider there's a young bucket, which is like 19 or younger. And then there's 20 or older, which I'd consider like the old bucket in terms of breakouts. So he's on the older side of those breakouts there. I mean, there's a difference, right? There's the breakout adjusted hit rate. Basically, if you broke out for 20% or better at 18 or 19 years old, you have like about a 71 or so percent hit rate. It's about 45 or so when you are breakout after 19 years old, so 20 or later. So there's a difference there. And so he's on the later side of that. So I think that's worth noting. The ringer, I think he's pretty laudatory. If I had to sort of rate some of these guys, I think Sirlein's one of the he's the cold bucket of water on some of these guys. The ringer is like a little bit of the cheerleading squad with some of these guys. So it is notable to watch like some of the differences in how they're done. Ringer, incredibly sudden in all, I think it's Danny Kelly, incredibly sudden in all movements, and his body control is a defining trait. Lance Sirlein needs to work on his ability to consistently uncover on all three levels, but he has the traits to become a very good wide receiver too if he tightens up areas of concern, right? So that's one of the things about this that I thought a little bit more of in terms of especially quarterback. I think wide receiver to some extent too is like, what's your success look like? And a very good wide receiver too, where do you draft that? And I don't have a great answer, and I'd be curious what people think about that. But like, if your thing is like, hey, really good wide receiver two on even a good team, so you're thinking like, I don't know, that's probably, and again, that's like a ceiling comp. That's wide receiver two for fantasy is kind of like ceiling. I think you should probably be swinging higher than that early on in rookie drafts. Again, I don't want to take like drastic. You know, like I'm swinging at a drunken pinata, right? Like I'm at a drunken pinata party, but I do want to have exposure to some ceiling, right? And I think a very good wide receiver too, even in a good passing offense, is still not a ton of ceiling there. And again, if that's your ceiling comp for him, that gives me a little bit of pause. So that's the thing about him. I think he can sometimes find himself covered up. I agree with that, Lance Erline. I think he can disappear at times where you see guys like London, heck, even Treylon Burks, like you see them just constantly involved. You can see a guy like Garrett Wilson be covered up a little bit in ways that I don't necessarily love. So that's really one of my concerns there. PFF will likely have to start his career in the slot or as a Z in an offense. Given a free release, he's best in the class at manipulating defenders in the stem. So I think that's an interesting and notable comp there for him in terms of, you know, it gives you a variety of different thoughts. Again, I don't purport to be an expert at this. And I'm, if anything, I try and input my humility into some of these situations more than anything, right? Again, we have a lot of uncertainty, and that's, I guess, one of the things that I really preach about in the rookie draft process is to take a lot of these things with a lot of humility, and appreciate that there's a lot that we don't know about how these guys are going to translate to the NFL. And I think that has given us some success in the past, and it'll be something that I try and preach again going forward. So he's one that I think there's a variety of different opinions. I think people like him. I think people have a different set of concerns and maybe some ranges of outcomes on him. I did look at Matt Waldman. He also has him at wide receiver four. I thought his comps were interesting, Marquise Lee and Corey Coleman. In terms of, you think like stylistically, again, both of those guys, Matt has him as a better version of those guys, but stylistically, perimeter guys, more vertical deep threat guys, that had some of the well-roundedness concerns going on about him. So we'll see in terms of how that unfolds. Again, I don't necessarily love the BMI either. But I think good player, again, if it's going to be a top three or four rookie pick cost, I don't love that. If it's going to be available at, at wide receiver six, which I get the impression it's not going to be, I think I'll be in and interested at that cost. So that's really the big deal for him. Again, I don't think he stands out in an elite way, really at anything. And that gives me a little bit of pause, with these guys, right? And I want, I don't want to spend, and this is something I think I'm going to do a trade piece for AOD 2023, I think. And one of the things is going to be never pay an elite price for a good player. And I think paying like a top three wide receiver price for him in a rookie draft is paying an elite price, at least in the context of a rookie draft, for a good player. And I just don't love it. Even if he's a very good player, like, I think you can sort of masquerade. I mean, we've been able to masquerade that good wide receiver too in the form of Mike Evans or Brandon Cooks for the last, 5 years at a variety of different price points that have been cheaper than paying a top five or top six rookie pick cost. And that just gives me a lot of a lot of angst there. So again, I would bail off the pick. I'd move down, and that would sort of be my thought as I look at these. So that'll pretty much put a wrap on this. Again, if you hear similar threads in these podcasts, right, it's informed by a specific belief, which is that the ordering that these guys come out is something that we're not particularly good at. Again, you take, I think there's a couple of rules, right? Sub 20-year-old breakouts greater than non 20-year-old breakouts, and the ordering of these things isn't really predictive in the market. The dynasty market hasn't done that well. There's reasons to believe that actually there's a reverse ordering in terms of the way that the NFL draft does in terms of predictiveness. I think it's probably more random than anything. That would be sort of what my numbers suggest. I think you could measure it a couple of different ways and look at different things. I think leveraging that, especially where you don't have like a huge bet, where you don't have like a really, really strong conviction, which I don't have a ton of strong convictions because it's all informed by this, right? Again, this comes back to my prior on wide receivers is we really struggle in a lot of the stuff that makes them successful. We don't know or can't predict, outside of some of the base rate stuff and some of the hit rate stuff. Again, when you're trying to break ties, we're really not that good at it. And so to embrace that, lean into that, you know, use it as a trade down piece, use it as a move down piece. You know, can you go from selecting him at six to selecting, you know, someone else in that you like similarly in the first, if it's a first round wide receiver at 10? Right, doing that I think makes a lot of sense, and that's really where you want to be at. So I hope that helps in terms of your this profile. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.